to this day, in fact. I will go somewhere and I will meet somebody with Irish heritage or somebody who's recently moved to Canada, and they'll have tears in their eyes about how important this is to them. And I said, you know, I didn't know you. I didn't know who you were, but I did it for you without knowing you. And that's really what it's all about.
In 2021, Canadian MP James Maloney succeeded in getting his motion to designate March as Irish Heritage Month passed unanimously in the Canadian House of Commons. As someone with deep Irish roots, James had wanted to find a way to formally recognise the contribution that the Irish community have made to Canada's society, culture, and infrastructure. And in this episode, James talks about why he felt so strongly about this initiative, how he felt when it passed unanimously in the House of Commons, and the impact that it has had ever since. I'm Patrick Haughey, and you are welcome to the Ireland-Canada Connection, an original podcast series brought to you by the Ireland-Canada Business Association. Thanks for joining us here on the podcast. If you enjoy this episode, please do press the follow button on whatever platform you're listening. And even better, please share the link with a friend or a colleague that you think might also enjoy the series. So, let's meet James Maloney, the man behind Irish Heritage Month. We start our conversation by learning a little more about James's own Irish heritage.
My family is very proud of their Irish heritage. In fact, the Maloneys settled in Canada about 1840, maybe a little bit earlier than that, in a place called Mount St. Patrick, which is about 90 minutes from Ottawa, our nation's capital. And I actually, the parish there just celebrated their 175th anniversary. And my father, for years, told me he used to go visit Maloney Mountain. And I always thought he was joking, of course. And he was just trying to, you know, instill some pride in his three sons. But in fact, I went to visit the parish to celebrate the 175th a couple of years ago. And sure enough, there's a Maloney Mountain right next door. And so there were seven families that settled the area, and three of them were my ancestors.
Wow. And have you done a little bit of digging in terms of where it all began in Ireland, where they came from in Ireland?
Yeah. So my from County Clare, my brother, I've got to give him credit. One of my brothers has done a lot of research, and we're from a little town just north of Ennis. And I actually, my great-great-great-grandparents were married there in a little parish, and I went to visit in 2013, actually. I was over there on a golf trip, of all things, and I after a round, I dragged all of the guys I was with over to see the church. I didn't tell them where I was going, of course, until we were almost there.
And was this, so, you know, you go back to, that's obviously a very significant part of your history and something you've been interested in. As you were growing up in Canada, were you always very aware of your Irish heritage? Was it something that was very much part of the household, or is it something that sort of developed as you got a little bit older?
Well, it's a bit of both. And, you know, and that's a pretty critical question of sort of why I did this. And I think it reflects a lot of Canadians like me who are proud of their Irish heritage. So I was born in a place called Thunder Bay, which is in northwestern Ontario, about 1,000 miles from Toronto. I moved to Toronto when I was 11, and I've been living here ever since. But, you know, my parents always instilled this pride in us. You're proud of your Irish heritage. But as I've said many times, and I don't think I'm unlike a lot of fellow Canadians, they're proud of their Irish heritage, but they don't know their own personal history. They don't really know why, but they know it's important. They don't know all the detail. You don't dig into these things until you get a bit older. My father, of course, knew our family history, you know, very well, and I think that's why he passed that along. But it wasn't until I got older, and my wife, her name is Deirdre Brett, her father's from Waterford, her mother's from Mayo. They came to Canada. Deirdre was, her older sister was the last of the children not born in Canada. They came here in 1964 for a year, and of course they're still here, but like so many others. But for me, it was an evolution of learning more about my Irish heritage, sort of fleshing out why I felt that pride. As I said this in my speech in the House of Commons, there's a lot of people in Canada who are incredibly proud of their Irish heritage, but they can't necessarily put into words, you know, the why or the full reason why. And I think that captures me. So this whole process with the Irish Heritage Month, and after I became a member of Parliament, it caused me to do a little bit more digging, you know, looking into all the things my father had talked about. And so my pride has grown exponentially, you know, in the last number of years.
When did you want to start to, I guess, raise the issue of the significance of the Irish in Canada, historically, culturally, economically, today? When did that start to come into your, what you did on a daily basis from a political perspective?
Well, it wasn't long after I was elected. So I was elected to Parliament in October of 2015, and I'd been very active with the Irish community here in Toronto. Toronto has an extremely large, proud, and engaged Irish community. So shortly after I was elected, I was attending a reception in the dining room of the Speaker of the House of Commons. And it was he was hosting an event for a celebration to commemorate the anniversary of the first ever Polish-Canadian member of Parliament. And I think that individual's election was about 1920-something. I forget the exact date. And I'm standing there thinking, there was about 100 Irish guys before this guy. Why is nobody celebrating this? Like, you know, I mean, Thomas D'Arcy McGee is one of our founding fathers, and everybody can tell you who he is, by name, certainly. But there wasn't a great celebration other than around St. Patrick's Day when everybody wants to put on a green shirt and go out and have a green beer or something. But, you know, the Irish, so I started doing a little bit more digging. I went back to my office. I looked into it. There was no Irish Heritage Day. There was no Irish Heritage Month. Canada is a country that's incredibly proud of its multicultural heritage. You know, we're a nation made up of people from all over the world. We continue to be that way. But the Irish community has been here for so long, like my family. And as I said in my speech in the House of Commons, they've become a little bit modest over time, I think. So they weren't celebrating, and they weren't telling people about the great accomplishments the way I thought they should. So that was my motivation. So as I said, I went back, I checked with the clerk of the House of Commons. There was nothing on record. So I immediately prepared this motion and filed it with the clerk. And I've been working for a number of years to get the motion heard, which I finally did in 2020. But so that was really it. And, you know, what was amazing, I knew how important it was to a lot of people when I did it, but it didn't become fully apparent to me how important it was and what it meant to people until after I did it. Because I, to this day, in fact, I will go somewhere and I will meet somebody with Irish heritage or somebody who's recently moved to Canada, and they'll have tears in their eyes about how important this is to them. And I said, you know, I didn't, and I've said this many times, I didn't know you, I didn't know who you were, but I did it for you without knowing you. And that's really what it's all about. And it's really been an experience for me traveling this road, seeing how important it is to the community, because you can literally go to every town, every city, every village in this country, and there's Irish fingerprints all over the place, whether it's on the infrastructure, physical or social. And people, you know, like my own family in Thunder Bay, we're proud of their Irish heritage, but, you know, the connections go a long way back.
So success for you meant that the month of March became Irish Heritage Month in Canada. So you've been very clear that this is not about drinking green pints and, you know, all of the stuff that might happen on March 17th and St. Patrick's Day. Right. So in your own words, how would you sort of sum up what Irish Heritage Month is in that case?
It's a celebration and a recognition of all of the people who have worked so hard to make Canada the great country that it is. And it goes back to what I said a moment ago. I mean, look, you can go downtown Toronto, you can go downtown Ottawa, you can go downtown every city, and you can look at the Rideau Canal, a famous piece of, you know, infrastructure in Ottawa. Everybody who comes to visit the city goes to look at the Rideau Canal. It was built by Irish immigrants. You can have the same experience regardless of what city you go into. So for me, it's about reminding people of that. It's about reminding people, you know, the great contribution they made to this country. 14 to this day, it's over 14% of Canadians claim Irish ancestry. If you're in New Brunswick, it's about 38%. If you're in Quebec, it's about 40%. You know, and that so that's what it's about. So I can't put a fine word strong enough to emphasize, you know, what this is as opposed to what this is not. And I'm not discouraging people from having a good time on St. Patrick's Day. We all will. But which takes me to another piece of this puzzle is in 2018, I co-hosted the first ever Irish Night on Parliament Hill with the late, great Ambassador Jim Kelly. And, you know, again, it was an event. The first one we did it in April. We did it around the time Darcy McGee's birth, the anniversary of his birth and his death are about a week apart. So I wanted to do it then, again, outside of March so that it's not caught up in the St. Patrick's Day euphoria. And, you know, we put this event on Parliament Hill, not knowing how well it was going to go. And it was a great success. You know, we had well over 200 people at the first event. We did it again in 2019. We had about 300 people at the, over 300 people at the event. We used a bigger venue and we were all set to go for the third annual in 2020, of course, and then COVID strikes. But so we had, so, Ambassador Eamon McKee, who's been here for a few years now, who is a dear, dear friend and is doing so much for the Irish community here in Canada, and from whom I learn more about Canada every time I talk to the man. We hosted the third annual, and I did it just in November. Now, the reason I did it in November was, again, to take it out of the context of March, but I also did it because that I wanted to host the event as soon as we were allowed to have big events back in Parliament Hill post-COVID, and November was really the first time we could do it. So we hosted the event on November the 23rd, and we had well over 400 people. It was a massive success. People came from all over Ontario. People came from other provinces to attend this event. We had great music and great, you know, information available to talk about the Irish heritage. And it was, it's really leaving an impact on my colleagues. People are, you know, they know it for what it is, and they know it's not, you know, people said, why'd you do it in November? And I tell them it's because I want to separate it from what people associate some of the Irish community with in March.
The kind of things you're describing, Irish Heritage Month, Irish Night, basically, you know, significant markers of the assimilation of two cultures, certainly, you know, and one culture coming in and being welcomed and assimilated by another. Does that, do you believe, help to create a sense across Canada of an openness towards other cultures? You know, maybe new waves of immigrants coming in. We don't always see them welcomed perfectly in every country across the world, but do events like this help create that mindset of welcoming and an openness to assimilation?
No, you've hit a very important point here, because the answer is yes. It reminds some people and makes other people aware, because as we said, Canada is a country built on immigration, and one of the greatest immigration stories in Canadian history is, you know, 1847. I'm sitting in Toronto right now. The population of Toronto at the time was about 20,000 people. 37,000 people arrived on the shores of Lake Ontario in Toronto, who were, you know, who had spent, you know, weeks and weeks on, you know, we know the story about the famine ships. And point, Toronto opened its arms. Think about that. More than almost double their population arrived. And so that to me is one of the greatest immigration stories in Canadian history. When I tell people that story to this day, no, I've never heard that. How could I not have heard that story before? They're shocked. But I said, look, we're doing the same thing now, not in the same numbers, of course, but Canada continues to this day to welcome people from around the world. And sometimes there is hesitation. Sometimes there's pushback. And I remind people, look, this isn't the first time Canada's done this. This is how this country was built. And if you look at the Irish story and many others since, that's why this country's so great. And when you tell them that story, it's you can see the light go on sometimes, and it really makes a difference. So yeah, it's that's another reason why these stories need to be told. I mean, there's landmarks across this country about Irish, immigration during the famine years that people aren't aware of, and these stories need to be told. I'll give you an example. This past summer, Ambassador McKee asked me to come down to Ottawa in the summer when the House wasn't in session, because they were having an event in a park, McDonald Park, in downtown Ottawa. Big, beautiful park. It's about 8 acres in size. Prior to early 1920s, this was the largest graveyard for the city of Ottawa. The graveyard was moved to another part of Ottawa around the time, and the bodies that were moved were done so by families who could afford to pay for it. Anyway, long story short, there are a number of remains in one corner of the park that are Irish immigrants, famine immigrants, who came to Canada, whose families couldn't afford to move the bodies, and this is unmarked, unknown. So these are the type of stories that need to be uncovered and told, and that's part of the process we're going through now.
Yeah, because I guess there's an understandable fear when large numbers of people come to your country, and there's natural human nature, you fear about the resources that are there, etc. But when you look at a similar story in the vastness of time, and with hindsight, and looking at the great things that happened during times like this way back in the past, it really does help to reset the how you feel about it, I guess.
Without a doubt. I mean, if you know your history, you understand the present a little bit better. They say history repeats itself, and it does. But these things aren't happening for the first time. They're just happening in a different context at a different time. And if you can understand how Canada benefited from this in the past, you'll appreciate how much value this has now.
Very well put. You have spoken in the past about the Good Friday Agreement, some of the great work that was done in Northern Ireland, and some of the role that Canadian people had in that actual agreement. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, and that's another thing, because this is the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, as we're leading up to the month of March, and then leading up to April 10th, which is the anniversary itself, of course. It's an awareness exercise, because I talk about this and many other people talk about it, but General John de Chastelain played a significant role, in the decommissioning of weapons in Northern Ireland. Mm. People aren't necessarily aware of that, and the ones who are sort of have a notion of it, but without knowing all of the detail. Mr. Justice Peter Corey, a highly respected member of the Supreme Court of Canada here, was tasked with dealing with some of the challenges of the reestablishing the credibility of the police, if I can put it that way, and some of the military issues that had been dealt with. And there's a number of others. So these are the stories that need to be told as part of Irish Heritage Month too, because and this is something why it's important this year, because as we're approaching Irish Heritage Month and people's personal stories are being told, I want to remind people how prominent a role Canada played with, peace in Northern Ireland. And I want people to know that there's still a role to be played. And this is just one example of the significance of the relationship between our two countries. Because, we all know, unfortunately, as a result of Brexit, there's turmoil again, if I can put it that way. I was in Belfast in October, and there's the emotions are running high for a variety of reasons. The British Prime Minister just made a statement a couple of days ago that he's going to make sure that this gets sorted out. They want to get things resolved before the April 10th anniversary. But Canada has and needs to continue to play a significant role in that. Our Foreign Affairs Committee, I'm not sure the exact date, but it would have been about a year ago. Perhaps a little more even, following Brexit. I mean, the UK is now in the midst of trade negotiations with Canada and every other country. Our Foreign Affairs Committee passed a motion, you know, making sure that our trade minister and our government was going to honor the spirit and the intent of the Good Friday Agreement as part of these trade negotiations. And I continue to mention that to Mary Ng, our trade minister, every time I see her. I mean, she sees me, she's like, I know, Jamie, I know. But we're going to do it, and that's the point, because Canada knows it's how important a role it has played, and it knows how important a role it continues to play, and that's why it's important to talk about this and remind people who might not be as familiar with the situation that it is extremely important.
Yeah. Well, look, finally, and speaking of trade, and this is something you've spoken about in Parliament as well in the recent past, is the amazing story of Canadian business and Canadian multinationals in Ireland. And each year that's passed over the last number of years, there seems to be more and more and more really big, significant companies setting up shop in Ireland, employing Irish people, bringing Canadian people over. It's quite a success story, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. I mean, you know, your Helen Canada Business Association, I mean, they play a big, big role in this. Chris Collinette, who's an old friend of mine, I think I can't remember the statistics off the top of my head, but the membership had grown by, I think, 40% over the last few years. One of the implications from Brexit is people are looking at Ireland in a completely different way now. They're realizing things that you and I and a whole bunch of other people already knew, but you know, because of the lens has changed and they've been redirected, they're realizing the great opportunity. It's the English-speaking gateway into Europe now, as a result of Brexit, and it's a great place to do business. People are incredibly friendly. It's a warm, welcoming environment, and I think that's why you're seeing that. It's reflected in the uptick. Governments, businesses alike are seeing the opportunity, and they're working to create the environment to make it easier for our two countries to work together. And look, it's important now because, I mean, it's important for a whole lot of reasons, but coming out of COVID, countries around the world were sort of looking inward instead of looking outward, and our two countries are not doing that. We're doing the just opposite. So we're leading by example.
Yeah. Well, finally, you have got some very big milestones, very big achievements over the line in terms of Irish Heritage Month, etc. Have you something else you're hoping to achieve over the next few years? Or is it really just to drive forward Irish Heritage Month and get those stories told that you've mentioned?
Oh, no, I want to. Once the motion passed, I say to people, OK, so now what do we got to do something with this. We have to build on it. And that's what we're doing now. And he continued to build on it year after year. As I said, you know, Eamon McKee is doing a tremendous job. He started an initiative last year called 50 Irish Lives, and he's put together a volunteer team of Canadian historians who are proud of their Irish heritage or aware of it. And they're writing a number of stories about Irish immigrants who came to Canada and really made a difference. And these are people that, you know, most people wouldn't have heard of. As I joke with him, I said he's going to reclaiming Canada as part of Ireland by the time he's done, because he's digging up stories about, you know, I use the Rideau Canal as an example, but there's countless stories like that. I mean, Rideau Hall, where the Prime Minister is living right now, there's an Irish component to all of that. The construction, all of these things. Wellington Street out in front of Parliament Hill. Lord Wellington was born in Dublin. I didn't know that myself until about a month ago, you know, but now I'm telling everybody who will listen, of course, right? So these are the things. It's the stories that have to be told. Last year on March the 1st, we hosted because it was the first full Irish Heritage Month, the ambassador and I hosted a Zoom call that was viewed across the country and in Ireland as well. And we had he and Nancy Smythe, who is our ambassador to Ireland, who is doing a tremendous job, by the way. She's been there for a couple of years now. And let me just say this about the two of them. They started out in very difficult circumstances because they both started their jobs in countries where they weren't allowed out of their homes. That's not an easy way to begin. But they've both done great work, and I just want to say thank you to both of them. But we hosted an event last year on Zoom, and it was the three of us having a chat like this, and I got the Prime Minister to join us. So Prime Minister Trudeau came on the Zoom call, and you know, with any prime minister or leader like that, things are very structured in terms of time and sequence and content and whatnot. Well, if you go back and watch it, he came on the call, and within about 2 minutes, you could see he just sort of opened up, and we had this free flowing discussion. He has Irish heritage himself, I might add. So that I use that as an example of, we want to continue promoting what it is. And we talked, and last year we talked about some of the early examples of the 50 Irish lives. So we're doing that again this year on March the 1st. We're going to take it a step further. Ambassador McKee is working on an Irish Heritage Trail, which is going to commemorate some of the many sites about the Irish imprint across the country. Because as he likes to say, you know, every story of Irish history in Canada is a little bit different because they're in isolation. You know, if you're born in Thunder Bay where I am, or you live in New Brunswick, you know, you're both proud of your Irish heritage, but for different reasons, because the communities haven't been connected since their families arrived here. So it's evolving. We're going to keep making it bigger. I've got some other ideas which I'm working on, which, and if we do this again in a year or two, hopefully I'll be able to share with you. But I want to build it and make it bigger and better, share the story, because it has triggered a lot of people and my colleagues and everybody for that matter. It causes them to pause and think about their own Irish heritage, and it draws out memories, you know, so they're now digging into their own family history and learning more about themselves. And that's the idea behind it. Yeah. So it's a movement.
Absolutely, and I will hold you to that. We will catch up again in a year or two, because okay, I really want to hear about everything that you've been driving forward around this. So look, well done. Thank you so much for sharing the story of Irish Heritage Month and how you got it over the line and the massive ambitions you have for it going forward. And thanks so much for joining us on the Ireland Canada Connection podcast. Thank you, James Maloney.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode featuring James Maloney, and thanks to James for taking the time to talk about this fascinating initiative. Do check out previous interviews in the series with leaders in business, politics and culture from the Ireland Canada community, and to learn more about the Ireland Canada Business Association, just visit irelandcanada.com. Catch you next time.